This podcast is brought to you by Avast Business, a global leader in cloud-based network protection with solutions built for MSSPs looking to provide round-the-clock protection for clients while increasing profits. Visit avast.com/business/partners/MSP to learn more.
You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
How do you define managed services? How do you define MSPs for a compliance professional or a person who is asking a compliance-related question? That is the topic for today's MSP Zone podcast, and we have covered this material before, to be certain. We've talked about it. We've written about it. We've talked about it at MSP World conferences. We have, even on this podcast, we've talked about the definition of managed services. These things, you know, no matter what your view of MSP or managed services may be, everyone has a slightly differing version. I will give you my definitions or answers to those questions for what it's worth. But today we're going to be asking a slightly different question or put differently. We're asking the same questions, but from a different perspective. And if 20 years ago we asked the question, what is an MSP? What are managed services? Today, the people asking these questions are asking for a very different reason. They have a very different motive behind the questions. And invariably, that motive is a compliance motive, meaning they're trying to figure out, who are you and how do I decide what you should be doing or what you should not be doing? And that's a very stripped down, kind of dumbed down way of explaining it. But the purpose is a compliance person is, generally speaking, trying to get at risk. They're trying to get at who are you, what are you doing, and how should I be viewing you and the risk that you may or may not bring to my organization, in this scenario, most likely a customer. But those are the reasons why they're asking these questions. And the responses, the answers to the question, am I an MSP, am I providing managed services, will greatly differ on how you maybe have answered that question 10, 15 years ago, because today the stakes are very different, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. So getting right into it, defining MSPs, defining managed services, I will give you my general answers to those questions, starting with an MSP. And this goes back to a very long but not unpleasant conversation amongst our board, I think in 2002, 2003, when we were trying to define that term. And we spent a whole day, a group of really smart individuals trying to define the term managed services and what an MSP is. And even people in the industry at that time had a real challenging go of it and had some really distinct perspectives of what defines an MSP and a managed services organization. The way I define it and the way the MSP Alliance defines it are fairly basic. I'm going to call it it's designed that way by intent so that it can apply to different styles of managed services organizations out there in the world delivering very different types of managed services, but managed services nonetheless. An MSP in our definition is really hinges on one key thing, which is proactive. And why do we hinge on proactive? Because you can have other elements of your business model that look like an MSP and yet not be an MSP, right? You could bill on a monthly basis. You could have a time and materials billing. You could have a recurring billing model. And just because you have a monthly recurring revenue does not mean you're an MSP. The fact that you may own or license an RMM platform, you know, that many MSPs, most MSPs have RMM software that they use. That's true. Just because you have an RMM doesn't mean that you're an MSP. At least in terms of, you know, if you're in a room of other MSP professionals, they're not just going to say, oh, you have an RMM too. You're just like us. Now, there's a lot of difference between getting an RMM and actually using it properly, right? An analogy we use a lot was just because you have a scalpel doesn't mean that you're a surgeon, right? It's how you use that tool that defines your participation in that professional community or not. And the same is true with MSPs. So it's not based on your billing practices. It's not based on the type of tools that you have. It's really how do you use those tools that defines you as a managed service provider or an organization delivering managed services. And the proactive word hinges on the distinction between being a reactive IT provider and a managed services provider doing proactive IT services. And the distinction really is if you're simply billing on a recurring revenue base on a monthly basis, if you have an RMM, but your primary business model is to clean up, meaning all you're doing is responding to, reacting to things that happen to your customers, but not actively managing them, then you're not really an MSP. You're something else. You're an IT repair shop. You're a computer or a network repair shop. You may not be repairing physical hardware, but you're still repairing stuff in a responsive, reactive business model. And for most MSPs, it's well established, I think, in 2021, that you want to be more on the proactive side, because that means that you have a very different relationship with your customers. You perform different types of services. You may bill for them on a monthly basis. You almost definitely have an RMM platform, among other types of tools. But it's the nature in which you use all those things to deliver that proactive IT service that makes you, in our definition, an MSP. And you can apply that term to anything, any type of service, right? You could be delivering that as a managed hosting service. You could be delivering that proactive IT service as a managing users or managing virtual machines or maybe managing security or managing backup or managing a particular set of applications. There's so many variations on that theme, but everything can be applied using that definition of proactive, and that's why we set it up that way, is that it had a multitude of different uses and applications without changing the fundamental definition. So now that we've got that out of the way, and by the way, we'll try to include some links in today's podcast so that you guys can read up on some of our writings on defining managed services and MSPs. But let's turn our attention now to defining managed services from a compliance standpoint. And what do I mean by that? So today, for a very different reason, if 15, 20 years ago, people were asking, are you an MSP? They might be asking because they wanted to find a new MSP. They wanted to start outsourcing their IT management. Fine. Today, they may be asking the same reasons, why you're an MSP, but they're asking for a compliance purpose as well. And that involves risk. And so when compliance people start to ask questions such as, are you an MSP? Are you delivering managed services? They almost always are asking because they want to know what level of access do you have into a particular environment. So if I was an insurance company, I might be asking, are you an MSP? Because, well, that brings up certain risk for me as an underwriter to understand whether I should, you know, quote you at one premium level or at a different premium level. If I'm a customer, I might be asking because I want to know, are you going to have, what type of access are you going to need or do you currently have with my organization? That's going to really hinge on whether you're an MSP or whether you're something else, right? So if you're a consultant, I can grant you a level of access that is fairly well governed by my organization. I control everything. I control what you see, what you can do. I can remove you. I can add you. Those things are all within the purview of the client. As an MSP, the MSP has access on an ongoing basis and with a multitude of different tools, potentially, that all raise the questions of, are you an MSP and what level of access do you really have? And you may ask, why am I talking about this today? Well, I'll tell you, because I have heard some really bad answers to the question, are you an MSP? Are you delivering managed services? And it almost always comes from people who, A, define themselves as an MSP or think that they're an MSP, but when they're reaching out to us, they're saying, well, someone from my client's compliance department asked about us and said, you know, are we an MSP? Are we delivering managed services to this customer or do we want to? Because it almost always involves a compliance or an audit related follow-up, meaning that the client is saying, well, if you're an MSP, then I need you to go and get a certification. Maybe it's a SOC 2, maybe it's a ISO, maybe it's an MSP Verify, what have you. But there's a compliance request after the initial series of questions. Are you an MSP? Are you delivering managed services? If you are, then we need you to do this. And then the responses start to come in that really don't make any sense, which are, well, maybe we're not really an MSP. Maybe, you know, we are an MSP, but you don't really need to, we don't host anything, so you don't need to look at us. You know, a lot of those kind of variations on a theme, which are all pretty much excuses why the MSP in question does not want to be certified or audited. And this is becoming an issue because the more of these somewhat inexact, I would say, maybe clumsy, some others would say, attempts to evade review are going to backfire and at some point. And that is that the pace at which customers and their compliance people are getting familiar with the practice of outsourcing to MSPs and using managed service providers. And by the way, it's not slowing down, right? So this is all in the context of greater and greater demand for managed services providers. But with that increase in demand is also an increase in scrutiny and an increase in a understanding of what it is that the MSP is doing in order to protect themselves and their customers. And the questions of, you know, I don't host any data, or the response of I don't host any data, therefore you don't need to look at me. I don't need to go through and get a SOC audit. I don't need an MSP Verify because I don't host any data. Those types of things, they fundamentally don't address the legitimate issue or question that the customer has, which is, are you going to have access into my stuff, either my data or my networks or my systems? And hosting is just one of the ways in which MSPs would be implicated and need to have some sort of audit or review or certification. But at the very least, they do have access to data when they are hosting it. Now, most of you, I think, know that the majority of MSPs do not own or control their own data center. They co-locate, they use third-party cloud providers, but they, you know, I think it's somewhere around 90 to 95% of MSPs don't own or control a data center. So that's a fairly large portion of our population that don't have anything to do with the data center or hosting business. Well, that doesn't mean that only 5% of the MSPs need to be certified. That's ridiculous, because the majority, I would say close to 100% of MSPs, have some sort of system, call it a monitoring system, management system, scanning system, backup system, security system, that is gaining access on a persistent, ongoing basis with a customer environment. Call it customer data, a customer application, customer domain, you name it. That's what triggers for their concerns in their compliance world. That's what triggers the, okay, now you are an MSP, right? If you didn't have that ongoing access, if you were completely isolated, then you would be something else. You would not be an MSP, true. You would be a general IT repair shop. You would be maybe an IT consultancy. But if you have a RMM platform, and most MSPs do, and by the way, this is not an indictment on RMM. For the record, RMM technologies are incredibly important, as are ticketing platforms, as are backup, as are security systems. These are all commonly used tools, necessary tools, I might add, in the tool belt of the MSP. So that is not what I'm saying, is that these things are in some way bad or should not be used. What I am saying is that regardless of whether you host data, regardless of whether or not you are or own or control a data center or a co-location facility, the fact is that you are, if you are a prototypical MSP, you've got some sort of ongoing insight or access to your customer's environment, right? That's what monitoring and managing your customers means, because they don't have the means to do it themselves. But if you're doing it, then there is a legitimate oversight and series of questions that a customer and or their compliance people have a right to ask, and have a right to demand some amount of reasonable response and information and clarity as to what it is that you're doing and how you are doing it. It's the what you're doing and how you're doing it that they simply want to have greater comfort and greater visibility and transparency into. And the more transparent you are as a service provider in those areas, the more quickly those compliance questions will go away. Doesn't mean they won't come up again, but you are now, and for quite some time, I would argue, MSPs have been responsible for giving that information to their customers. And we're now starting to see that come more as a request from the customer more and more frequently. And it's going from the more regulated industries like the professional, you know, banking sector, the financial services sector, healthcare, but it's trickling down into other areas as well. And I think it's catching some MSPs off guard, because they're saying, well, why is my customer suddenly asking me for all these things? Well, it's because customers are generally more aware than they used to be. But if you're starting to have these conversations and you're starting to involve yourself with these types of client requests, my advice to you is, if you are an MSP, if you use, you know, typical managed services tools, if you are gaining that level of access, regardless, and I say again, regardless of whether or not you're hosting, that's a completely separate and irrelevant topic for this purpose, then you need to start to, you need to have a compliance story. You need to be able to address and respond to those specific compliance requests and questions. And it can't be in the form of oh, we don't do this, therefore you don't need to ask. Because that generally raises the ears of the compliant professional, and they start to say, well, do I really trust them? Do they really know? Do they understand the nature of my compliance issue? And when you start to have more of an adversarial posture with your client's compliance people or department or what have you, then that's not a good position to be in. You want to be anticipating those compliance requests. You should have plenty of documentation to provide to that compliance person in advance of them ever asking for it, so that when they do ask for it, you say, well, sure, of course, here is everything that we do. This is how we do it. This is how we protect it. This is what we practice internally ourselves. And by the way, this is what we expect from you, the client, because no client is should be able to completely offload their own risk to their MSP, because that is not what we are about as a profession. And so these things are happening even today, and they're happening throughout the world, and we want you to be aware of it, and we want you to be actively preparing yourself for this, because there's a tremendous amount of business to be won for those of you who are prepared. And for those of you who are not prepared, there's a tremendous amount of business for you to lose, because I'll tell you, if you're not prepared and if you don't have a good compliance story to tell, meaning you don't have answers to compliance questions, then you can expect greater scrutiny, greater skepticism, and eventually customers who start to say, you're probably not worth the risk. I'm going to go find an MSP who does have a better compliance story to tell. And so that's what we mean by defining managed services from a compliance standpoint. It's a little complicated. It's a little out there for those of you who are, you know, just practicing away in your managed services, and you know you're wondering where these things are coming from. Well, they are coming. They are here. It's just a question of how fast will they proliferate globally and into your specific geographic region and into your specific customer base. But it is coming, and we encourage you to get out in front of it, be proactive, as you are used to doing, and be ready to address these types of issues. And the more you do, the more you will be prepared, and the more you will be able to not only keep your existing customers, but you will also be able to greatly expand the types of customers that you bring on as a managed services practice, because they will appreciate the work that you do, and they will appreciate the fact that you're, on the whole, a much safer and more compliance-sensitive organization to work with. Hope this helped. If you have any questions or comments about managed services compliance, if you are struggling with where you should start your compliance journey, give us a call. This is what we're helping a lot of our members with for the last several years, and we'd be happy to help you guys with it as well. This is Charles Weaver with the MSP Zone. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.